This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We have Birchas Yitzchak LeYaakov. That Yitzchak gives the brachas to Yaakov Avinu. And as the Torah teaches us, that actually he wanted to give the brachas to Esav. And Rivka intervenes, and she makes Yaakov take away the brachas from Esav, and Yitzchak gives the brachas to Esav, to Yaakov instead of Esav. Now it's interesting, the way Yaakov Avinu gets the brachas, with such a sneaky, sly way. I mean, what would be wrong if Yaakov Avinu gets the brachas direct? Why did the Torah, why did the Rabbeinu Shloilam make it that the brachas should be given through a trickery?
Rabbi, what can this?
Why did it have to be through such a situation where it was supposed to go to Esav? And Yaakov Avinu comes sneakily thinking that, making that he is Esav. The kash is on the self-understood. Now, of course, the simple answer is Chushma de Rachmana. We are now asking why the Eibishter. Maybe it's not our business. Maybe it's not for us to know why the brachas were given in such a way. The Rabbeinu Shloilam wants it. If that's how the Rabbeinu Shloilam planned it should be, then we accept that that's the right way it's supposed to be. And maybe it's not our place to ask for vos. But afal pi kein, it screams to a pshat. It screams with that fashtein pshato. We have to understand why was it done in such a way. And also, the fact that the Torah details so much of how the sneaking happened, how the trickery happened, then possibly there's a lesson in it. Even if we don't have to explain why the Eibishter wanted it that way, but maybe yet we still have to understand why, in order to understand what's the lesson from it. There's a limud, there's a lesson to be learnt from the way the brachas were given over to Yaakov instead of direct, through a trick, through a sneakery. Why, and if we don't have to know why, Al Kalpanim, what's the lesson that should be learned from it? Now, Rabbeisai, it's interesting to note why Bechlal does Yaakov Avinu want to give the brachas to Esav?
Yitzchak.
Why does Yitzchak want to give the brachas to Esav and not to Yaakov? That's a question which needs to be understood. I mean, Yaakov Avinu is Ishtam, Yaish Baholim, he's a tzaddik. Esav is Dacha. He's a wild man. He's a Vildachaya. So why does he want to give the brachas to Esav over Yaakov? Now, to say Kipshutai, that Esav fooled Yitzchak to the point that Yitzchak had no idea who his sons were. Azay's masmin the psukim. The psukim seemed to say that Yitzchak was fooled. Kitzayid befiv. Chazal tell us, he used to say, to ask questions of Yitzchak, to fool him, to make him look like he's a tzaddik, even though he wasn't a tzaddik. Was he so easily fooled? Yitzchak Avinu, the Heilige Yitzchak Avinu. It's hard to believe that it's Hazav. He's one of the others, but from the avos. As a av should be fooled by not knowing between the two children. The pasuk says clearly that as soon as the children grew up, they turned 13. It was noticeable. The people already noticed who went to good and who went for bad. So everybody, Bat Yitzchak, realized this. From Chazal is Mashma, everybody knew, and just Punk Yitzchak didn't know. Maybe. That when the Eibishter doesn't want someone to know something, he doesn't see it. Maybe it was planned that way also. The same way there was a plan for the brachas should be officially supposed to be given to Esav, and at the end Yaakov gets it. So part of that plan was that Yitzchak should be fooled. Otherwise it's hapella. Which father has no clue between the two children? One is sitting and learning all the time, and the other one is hunting wild animals all day. I mean, you don't know the difference. Veras the Talmud Chacham and Veras Nish. Well, what's so? Maybe the Teretz is that was the plan of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Maybe that's part of what the Rabbeinu Shleilam's ultimate plan to have the Bechaira, the Brachis, be given originally to Esav and to be taken by Yaakov, means that Yitzchak had to be fooled. When as the Eibish Tevil, he could make the most seeing person blind. Or maybe we could say, like the Mefarshim say, that Avada Yitzchak knew who the difference between Esav and then Yaakov Avinu, who Yaakov was, who Esav was, and Afal Pikein, and even so, he wanted to give the brachas to Esav. And Rivka felt that the brachas have to be given to Yaakov. So then we have to ask, why? Why, if he knew, if he had a good clue of who Esav was, he got a good taste of who Esav was, so why is it that he wanted to give him the brachas? We have to better maybe understand what the brachas are. Maybe if we understand better what the brachas are, what do they represent, then we can understand better why Yitzchak Avinu felt that he should give it to Esau. And maybe then we can understand why Rivka felt differently. And what's Takapshat, the Machlekes, Esau, Yitzchak, Rivka? I mean, how could there be such a Machlekes, Bechlal? Yitzchak is the God Ladar. Yitzchak is the Paisik. I mean, how does Rivka become... True, she's a great Rebbetzin, Bemis. And true, Shema B'Kaili, when Rivka tells Yaakov, go listen to what I tell you, even though you don't want to go take the bracha, Shema B'Kaili, Chazal say, it was Ruach HaKodesh. So maybe it was Rivka's Ruach HaKodesh that was telling Yaakov. Maybe it's not a machlokes between Yitzchak and Rivka. Maybe. And a chanami. You can't have a machlokes Rivka and Yitzchak and Rivka. Because Yitzchak is the God Ladav, Yitzchak is... Rivka is the Rebbetzin. Rebbetzins are supposed to, in the background, take care of the home, be mechazik, the Yirah Shemayim, though, but not make decisions, so to speak, in yesoidistic things of chinuch and halacha. It's halacha shayla. Who gets the brachas? So it's Rivka's business, so to speak. It's Rivka's place to say a daya, to say an opinion. Rivka's the chterabitz. She's in the... I'm scared to say it, even though that's what I'm trying to say. Her place is in the home, in the kitchen. Her place is not to mix into to Yitzchak's affairs and halacha. So if Yitzchak paskins that the brachas are supposed to be given to Esau, unless you learn that maybe Yitzchak was misguided, and like we're saying that Yitzchak didn't know who Esau was, So Rivka felt that instead of telling Yitzchak who Esav was, so she got the brachas for Yaakov Avinu. Which means that she really believed the halacha that Yaakov should get it and Yitzchak would agree to that halacha. It's just that Yitzchak didn't know the Metzias. Maybe that's the pshat. Avada. It's not a halacha shayla between Yitzchak and Rivka. Really, the bracha is, even Yitzchak would agree should go to Yaakov. He just didn't know who Yaakov was. Like we started saying in the beginning, maybe he was blinded by the reality. He didn't know the Metzias. Elamai, let Rivka go and tell Yitzchak and have a sit down with him. Chashav a taira man, taira husband. I want you to know that you don't know clear your two children. You're not... You're making a mistake between the two boys. Yaakov is really the tzaddik and Esav is not. Unless maybe she didn't want to do that. Maybe she didn't want to have such a conversation with Yitzchak. Maybe it will hurt him too much. I don't know. So at least I understand how Rivka mixes in to the affairs of Yitzchak Avinu. But if you learn the way we learned that actually Yitzchak knows, and Afal Pikein he wants to give to Esav. He knows who Esav is, and he still wants to give it to Esav. So what place does Rivka have to mix in and feel differently? Unless maybe we could say that actually Yitzchak knew, and Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas knowing who Esav was. But Rivka didn't know that Yitzchak knew. Maybe that's the pshat. Maybe because they never had this conversation, so Rivka feels that Yitzchak maybe doesn't know, and the truth is Yitzchak does know, and after peeking, he wants to give the brachas to Esav. Yeah? Maybe that's the pshat. Hey, Rivka thinks that Yitzchak doesn't know. But Yitzchak does know. And Afal Pikein he wants to give to Esav. So that's the machlokes Rivka and Esav. And we could be mefalpel all day long about this. Back and forth. But there's a Beis HaLevi that we have to address. The Beis HaLevi says that there was a Yesodis the Kishayli here with the brachas. What are the brachas? The brachas are Olam Hazeh. That's what the brachas are. So Yitzchak felt that Yaakov Avinu doesn't need these brachas because Yaakov's an Ish Tam Yoshev V'Halom. What does he need it for? While Esav, who's out there, he's anyway out there. He is involved in Olam Hazeh. So he needs the brachas of Olam Hazeh. Rivka was mechadish that no, Olam Hazeh is not for Esav. Olam Hazeh is actually a bracha for Yaakov also, because even in Torah, even for the Yoshev HaHolim, he needs to be involved in Olam Hazeh to an extent. He needs panasah in order to be able to learn. And this becomes the machlokes. Yitzchak feels that Esav needs the brachas, while Rivka feels that actually Yaakov Avinu Taka the Yoshev HaHolim, he needs the brachas. My Zayd is a chayna levracha. Says a little bit differently the pshat. My Zayd is a chayna levracha says that the pshat is that Yaakov Avinu is Ish Tam Yoshev HaHolim. Memela he's blessed. Memela he's gebenched. What does he need? The Beis HaLevi is learning he doesn't need Olam Hazeh because Olam Hazeh doesn't go together with Olam Haba. You see, don't forget, in the beginning of the parasha we find that they were already fighting over Nachla Shnei Olam. Yeah? It says in the beginning of the parasha, by Yischaitz Aban and Bekirba, what were they fighting? Nachla Shnei Lomim, says Rashi. So you see already that there's a shaila, who gets what, right? Now, l'chayra, there's a good question involved. What I want, you don't want, and what you want, I don't want. So what's there to fight about? I want Olam Haba, you want Olam Hazeh, it's great. I once told you over a nice vertel from Vision Sarebbe that I heard from my Zayda Zechayna Lebracha. By Ephraim, it says, Eretz Abba Meir Shekel Kesef Bein Yu Bein Chomahi. What kind of a talk is that? So Rashi says, Bein Shnei Oyavim, between two friends, Ephraim tells Avraham Avinu, buddy, buddy, between two buddies, Habibi, okay?
Bro.
Between the two of us, what's already 400 shekel kesef? So first of all, it's an interesting, what does that mean? I mean, a price is a price, and money is money, you know? What does that mean between two oyavim? And he says he doesn't understand, since when did they become oyavim? What, did they have any connection before? Ephraim has anything to do with Avraham Avinu? What does he have to do with Avraham Avinu? How does he talk? Yeah, but buddies, friends. So the Parshat Pshat is, that's how they talk in the Middle East. You ever speak to an Arab, Habibi, 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 everybody's Habibi, and then he can kill you. What does a Habibi have to do with that? He has no sheikhs, everybody's Habibi. So maybe that's what Ephraim was a Middle Easterner. Yeah. Habibi, Bishne, Habibi, Bishne, Didim.
Of course, Habibi.
Yeah, what are they? Could be. That's the Parshat Pshat in the, maybe. But the vision to Rebbe, Zecharin Levracha, says, Oyavim doesn't mean Ephraim and Avram. Ephraim wasn't telling Avram that we're both friends. And what's the big deal, 400 shekel kesef? Oyavim, we both love, but each one a different thing. You, Avram Avinu, you love to be an Erlich HaMensch. You like to be Torah, Mitzvahs. You like to be a straight person. Me, I like money. So we're both Oyavim, but not each other. We both like something else. So what's 400 shekel kesef? You like to be Erlich. You like to pay to the penny. I like to jip people. I like money. So what's 400 shekel kesef between the two of us? It's a vertel, but it's very applicable here too. What are they fighting about? What are they fighting about? Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Yaakov Avinu tells him, you can keep what you have, I'll keep my. What are they fighting about? So Bishlaima, you could come and say, Esav. Maybe Esav is fighting because he wants both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. He wants Pakeret, Thomas Nafshi Mais Yisharim. When he's alive, he wants Olam Hazeh, but when he dies, he wants Olam Haba. He wants, as they say in English, the best of both worlds. He wants the best of both worlds. But what's Yaakov fighting about? Yaakov needs Olam Hazeh. What's he looking for? So the Teretz is, that's what Yitzchak really felt. Yeah, he doesn't need Olam Haba, he doesn't need Olam Hazeh. So then what's Yaakov fighting? So either the pshat is Yaakov is fighting because Esav wants to take away his Olam Haba. Esav wants Olam Haba, says, Yaakov, do me a favor, you stay away from Olam Haba. The last person I want to see in Olam Haba is you. That's pshat they're fighting. I don't want to see you in Olam Haba. I don't want to... Esav is trying to get Olam Haba. And Yaakov is trying to keep him away from Olam Haba. That's the fighting. Not that Yaakov is fighting for Olam Hazeh. Maybe we could explain that Esav and Yaakov are fighting. Esav is trying to steal from Yaakov Olam Haba, and Yaakov is trying to fight it off. Whatever it is, the point is, what are they fighting about? So you could come and say, maybe they're fighting because Esav wants Olam Haba, and Yaakov doesn't want him there. Or maybe we have to say that actually Yaakov is fighting also for Olam Hazeh. And the question is, what does he have for Olam Hazeh? What business does he have for Olam Hazeh? And this becomes, says the Beis Halevi, actually the machlekes between Rivka and and Yitzchak. Yitzchak feels, what shaykhus does Yaakov have with Ha'ilam HaZeh? He has no shaykhus to Ha'ilam HaZeh. While Rivka feels, he needs Ha'ilam HaZeh. There's a little bit you need. Zevi state, that there's two Mishnayis. One Mishnah says, Kachi Dakish Shal Teira, Pas Bamelech Teicha, Lumayim Am Suratishta. No Ha'ilam HaZeh. Yet it says, Amein Kemach Ein Teira. Person has to have a little bit, something. You're right. You don't need luxuries, but you need Ha'ilam HaZeh. So therefore, this becomes the machlokes. Zayda wants to say that could be Yitzchak's kavon of not giving the brachis because he's already benched. In English, we say he's the most blessed person around, that he has Yoshev HaHalim, that he could sit and learn. You know what it is to be out there in the world to make money. A person has no life. He has no life. The greatest life a person can have is to be Yoshev HaHalim. So what do I have to give you a bracha? You're already benched. Maizeda brings a story that he went with his older brother, Reb Chaim Valkin from Valozhin. He was the last Rav of Rosh Hashim in Valozhin. And he went to the Chofetz Chaim and to ask for a bracha. The Chofetz Chaim refused to give Reb Chaim Valkin a bracha. He refused. He said, a bracha? You already have bracha. You have it already. You have Torah. You have Torah. You're sitting and learning. You have a family. You're Shemayim, B'nei Torah. You're already benched. There's no point in me benching you. The lesson that the Chofetz Chaim was trying to teach, this is the biggest bracha that a person could have in this world, is to have Torah. So Yitzchak maybe feels, what's the point of bracha if you already get benched?
That makes
sense. What's the bracha? Asher tishmu al mitzvayis Hashem. Memela, he doesn't want to give Yaakov the brachas. Mashen kin Esav, he needs brachas. He has no life. Esav's, he can live 100 years in Ha'ilam HaZeh and not have one day of life. What's hotter for them? So therefore you have to give him bracha, 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 bracha. He needs brachas. So learns the Zaydus. We have two Yisoydus dika pshatim. And why, and actually maybe not why, but what was the underlying question? Should Esav get the brachas? Or should Yaakov get the brachas? One side, Esav should get the brachas, because he's the Ha'ilam Hazanik. While Yankiv, he's in the Ha'ilam Habanik. And the answer was that the Rabbeinu Shlom wanted, yes, that you need the brachas also. You need the brachas too. Mashain came. The second pshat is learning that Yitzchak felt he doesn't even need bracha. What do you need brachas for? You're already mevayach. So the answer is that he still needed the brachas, because even with Torah you need a bracha to have a little bit of Ha'ilam HaZeh. Okay. Comes out a big yisoid that if we understand properly Ha'ilam HaZeh, there's two Ha'ilam HaZehs. There's Ha'ilam HaZeh, which is Esav's Ha'ilam HaZeh. And then there's an Ha'ilam HaZeh, Yankiv's Ha'ilam HaZeh. And I think that's the Ravim B'Nachla Shnei Ha'ilam. Whose Ha'ilam HaZeh will be Ha'ilam HaZeh? Esav wants Ha'ilam HaZeh a certain theme. He wants something out of this world. That's Esav's Ha'ilam HaZeh. While Yankiv has a different Ha'ilam HaZeh. You know, it's what you make of Ha'ilam HaZeh that Ha'ilam HaZeh becomes. Yitzchak understood that Ha'ilam HaZeh is Esav's. Rivka understands that Olam Hazeh, real Olam Hazeh, is Yaakov's. Esav thinks Olam Hazeh is Esav. It's Olam Ha'asiyah. I'll give you a story to explain what I'm trying to bring out. My Zaidi told me that he was once present when Reb Mendel Zaks, Zecharinu Livracha, the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, had a discussion with the Chafetz Chaim as follows. Pat 11. This is how the Reb Mendel Zaks addresses the Chafetz Chaim. Tata, you know, they try to minimize Olam Hazeh. You look at the Bali Musa, the Sfarim, Olam Hazeh. Oh, but their emes is as their welt echa welt. That this world is also something to give importance to. It's a chash of a thing. You know, you read the Bali Musar, it says clearly, the Rebbe Sol Sisharim, that this is only a tracklin, it's a side lobby to get into the Olam Abba. A prize to us. You would think, well, what is it already, you know? You know, you have a prize there in the house. You know what they keep over there sometimes? They keep the dirty boots and then... right? So you could look at it as a lobby, right? That's all it is. A prize there to get into the main house. Or you could look at it as a prize there. You ever see a lobby in a hotel? Beautiful. The lobby itself is almost a hotel, right? So he's trying to say that when you learn from the Bali Musar, you could get the wrong impression that maybe this world is a cheap lobby. It's a cheap four-way, right? Where you keep the galoshes and all the chveis, you know, all the coats. No, but it's really... It's Eichavelt. It's also important, the Proyster. Look at it as maybe as a lobby. I'm giving the example of the lobby of the hotel. That's not what the Reb Mendel Zaks brought out. But I'm just trying to explain what Reb Mendel Zaks' point was. That a lobby can also be something very, very choshu, something very special. The Chafetz Chaim, hearing this, commented and he said, Oichavelt, that this is also a world. It's also no Noravelt. Only this is the only world. In this world, a person could learn and daven. In Olam Haba, he can't even say a kapitel tilum. But once you come to Olam Haba, it's finished. Here in this world, there is room for a person to conquer, so to speak. He could grow and he could achieve. It's the Olam Ha'asiyah, the world where a person could do and do and do and accomplish. So it's not Oichavelt. See, Noravelt. Noravelt. Yeah. This is the world. This is it. In Yenevelt, Afila Kapitel Tilum Kamen Isog. So the Chafetz Chaim is trying to say, if you understood what Olam Hazeh is, what is Olam Hazeh? It's the land of opportunity, literally. In this world, we have opportunity to grow in Yerushalayim, in Torah. So this world, that's called Olam Hazeh. Of course it means that we have to live in this world and have food and live in a house and have a car. I would like to call it a tale of two worlds. Unfortunately, quoting Dickens, it's about a tale of two cities, but a tale of two worlds. And that is that there's a world, Esav's world. And then there's a world, Olam Hazeh, Yaakov's world. And I think this explains a lot in the parsha. Give me an example. If you notice, when Esav realizes that the brachas were given to Yaakov. So he tells his father, he tells Yitzchak Avinu, Vayoyim, Vayam, Reikvim, Zer Pamayim. Oh, Pasik Lamed Ches, Perikov Zayim, Vayoyim Esav El Oviv. Habracha Achas Hilcha Ovi. You only have one bracha? Brachaini Gamoni Ovi. Ma'isa Esav Kailai Vayevk. And he cries. So the question is, I saw the Sam Rebbe's Meirib, but I think others before him have also spoken about this question. Not a bracha achas, that's not true. You have many brachas, just not for him. What does it say? I only have one bracha? That's not true. He gave a lot of brachas to Yaakov. So don't come and say you only have one bracha for Keret. I know you have a lot of brachas, but you have nothing for me, so why does he speak it out? You only have one bracha? It's a beautiful question. I would say pshats like this. If you look at the Medrash says, "V'yitei lecha mitala shamayim u'mishmani oretz v'roiv dogam v'siroish." That was the bracha that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov.
Seven brachot.
Okay. The Medrash on the pasuk "V'yitei lecha" says, "V'yitei lecha." Mitala Shemaim Zumikra, Mishmani Oret Zumishna, Zutalmud, on every part of that Pasuk and Bracha, there's a Drasha for a Pasuk, for Psukim, for Chumash, for Mishnayis, for Gemara. What does that mean? Mitala Shemaim means Gemara, Mishmani Oret means Psukim. I mean, what does that mean? Imagine a person says, go to the store and get me a milk and a bread. Oh, I don't mean milk and bread. I mean a Gemara and a Mishnayis. To say Gemara and Mishnayis. What does the Medrash mean? It's the Chatel of the Medrash. Yitei lecha mitala shamayim zu mikra. Shvani aret zu mishnah. Zu talmud. Just say it straight. Yitei lecha mishnayis and a Gemara and a Chumash. There's something deep going on here. All the brachas are for one purpose. In order to learn Torah and get close to the Rebbeinu Shlom to do Avodas Hashem. That's what it means. Tala Shamayim is for Mikra. Shmani Oret, Mishnah. It's all for the purpose of Torah, Torah, and more Torah, and more Torah. And that's what Esav is wondering. Habracha achas hilcha. You only have one theme. That's it. That's all it's about. It's all about Torah. I'll give you a story to bring out the pshat. Rabbi Yeruchim Lubavitz Mashgiach Chusa is Chayda Lavrachas Chusiyogin Leinu says something interesting to be noticed. To notice something point that when a person needs parnasa. When a person needs, he needs money, yeah? So he davens to the Rebbeinu Shlom for Parnosa. Every part of the Shemoneh Esrei, he's able to tie it into the Parnosa. Baruch, oh Hashem, bless you. Oh, you give Parnosa, bless you, bless you, bless you. Atah, you Rebbeinu Shlom, it's you who gives Parnosa, he Parnosa. Magen Avram, you protected Avram, and he got Parnosa, so me too Parnosa. Mechaya Mesim, I need Chias Mesim, I need Parnosa. Chayne Nadas, I need Seichel so I can get Parnosa. Hashimeinu will serve Seichel, Kamein will kill me Seichel, so if I do tshuva, I'll get Parnosa. One track mind. Every part of the Shemoneh Esrei, says Rav Yeruchim, turns into what the person is preoccupied with. Says Esav, I got to hear the brachas. You're preoccupied. Habracha achas hilcha avi. It's all about Torah. It's all one theme. Torah and Torah and more Torah and weiter Torah. You don't think you could give a shtickle bracha for Savis Leilam Hazar for me? Okay, I don't need the Torah part. I'm happy that he got the Torah. The brachas that lead to the Torah. God, but maybe, Barcheni Gamoni. a bit lace up there. Maybe there's some Elamazah for me. Zaydi used to say over that the Chofetz Chaim would say that they would read a Shidduch, a family member. Pasuk says, Sheker Achei, the Hevel Ayoifi. So Chain and Yoifi, it's all Sheker. So the Chofetz Chaim would say, is there a little bit, maybe a little bit sheker? Because a little bit is needed, right? You have to know it's sheker. But you might need a little bit, because that's what's needed in this world. Even for an erlichid. Yeah. You need a little bit, but so how did the Chofetz Chaim understand it? You gotta know the reality. The reality is Olam Hazeh is all about Olam Haba. The reality is Sheker Achei Isha Yiras Hashem Itasalo. But in order to function, the person needs a little bit. Right? This is what's going on here. Abracha Achas Hilcha Esav is starting to get a bad feeling of what all these brachas are all about. Yeah? It's not about Olam Hazeh. So what? There's nothing that there's brachas that a little bit Olam Hazeh which you can give me. Those brachas Yankiv doesn't need. Bracheni gamoni ovi. Vayisa esav koyla vayev. So this is Vayan Yitzchak ovi vayoymer eilov. Hine mishmane yoretz yeh moishavecha. Umital Ashomayi Me'o. Mital Ashomayi Me'o. What does he mean? Mishmane Ha'oret Yiyamoishavacha. Yiyamoishavacha. You notice that actually this bracha was given to Yaakov, but with a different nusach. V'yitnacha Lekim Mital Ashomayi U'mishmane Ha'oret without Moishavacha. Notice? Yankov Aminu gets the same bracha. Yitn lecha likim mital hashamayim u'mishmane haaretz. Yet Esav gets mishmane haaretz. But what's mishmane haaretz? Yiyah moishavecha. So if you look, Rashi says this is referring to Italy. Zu Italia shel Yavon, a medrash. So the Sitzei Chachamim beautifully explains that that's why we know it means Italy. Why? Because mital hashamayim u'mishmane yaretz. It doesn't say moishavecha. It says stam mital hashamayim mishmane yaretz. It's going to the peiris, the fruits. But you, Esav, you're going to get mishmane yaretz u'moishavecha. Where you're going to live is going to be mishmane yaretz, the most beautiful of lands, Yavon, the Alps. You have the Alps, you have, right? The French, and you have the Swiss, and then you have the Italian part. Beauty. Good. Beautiful, right? Mishmani oret yeh moisha vech. What's the pshat? It depends why a person wants Olam Hazeh. If you want Olam Hazeh, so you can grow in Torah, so you don't need mishmani haaretz. What does that do for you? What does it help you? What? Vacation, sightseeing, swimming, sportiven. What do you need? So what you need is the peiros, the food. Peiros, the fruit of the land. Like this you could be able to learn. Esav looks at the chitzonis. He needs this world. Not for learning. He needs it because he enjoys this world. So Baruch Hashem says, I'll give you Italy, beautiful country. I'll give you a beautiful car and a beautiful house.
America.
You see, the point, one of the brachas about Yankiv Avinu's brachas are mital hashamayim u'mishmane haaretz in order to reach a certain madrega in Torah. So Olam Hazeh will be blessed in a way that leads to the Torah. For Esav, it's the Chitzonius. It's the Olam Hazeh Shav Olam Hazeh. So the Rebbe Shem says, okay, I'll give you the Alps. Give you the Italian Alps, I'll give you. Yeah. My Zaydi used to say over that in Radin, the Chofetz Chaim, Ramey Shlantinsky, his Zeda, when they wanted to eat a little bit more food, they were hungry, they wouldn't ask for another portion of food. They would praise themselves. Efshekent megeben nachat bisul koyach of learning. Could you give me a little more strength to learn? The portion of food was cooled. The portion of food was cooled. More koyach of learning. Because to them, they didn't see a pizza. They didn't see a hamburger. They saw an opportunity to learn. The food was for the purpose of Torah. You hear? Not that they had hamburgers and pizza in Raden. They probably just had kartoflach. But instead of calling it a kartoffel, they call it a potato. Instead of calling it a kartoffel, what did they call it? Nachabisul Torah of learning. Because they understood. They understood what is the purpose in Tafkin and Tachlis of this world and the food in this world. If you look, yeah. Take a look. The pasuk. The pasuk speaks how Yaakov gets the brachas. Right? Hakol kol Yaakov, vayedayim day Yosef. Right? Chazal tell us. And when the Kail is Kail Yaakov, then the Yadayim Shel Esav are not Yadayim Shel Esav. HaKail Kail Yaakov, HaYadayim Yidei Esav, that the Koiches of Yaakov, of Kail Yaakov, then there won't be Yadayim Yidei Esav. So L'chayra, how does that play into the Brachas L'chayra? I mean, the brachas we're saying is about Olam Hazeh for the purpose of reaching Olam Haba. It's for the purpose of learning and davening. So why does the Torah and why does the Nevuah of Kol Kol Yaakov VaYadayim Yidei Esav follow into this pasuk? When it's Kol Kol Yaakov, then HaYadayim Yidei Esav. So what's the pshat? So you have to say that the brachas of Olam Hazeh is in a way when it's Kol Kol Yaakov. The tanai of a Kol Kol Yaakov is for the brachas of Olam Hazeh. The minute that it's not Kol Kol Yaakov, Ayadayim Yidei Esav, so Klal Yisrael loses the schus in Olam Hazeh. It's a condition in Olam Hazeh that in order for Klal Yisrael to get Birchas Haaretz, it has to be understanding that the Kol Kol Yaakov. Because if not, HaYadayim Yidei Esav, because then he is misgaber in what Olam Hazeh is. You want to know what this world is without Torah? It's war. This world without Torah, without Kiyam HaMitzvahs, the world is a world of Andrasnilin Bali Olam. It's a world that the self disintegrates. HaKol Kol Yaakov, Faker, it's not so much in Yaakov and Esav over here. Pashut, you learn that here the Rabbi Yisrael is teaching Yaakov Avinu for Klal Yisrael, the future, that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then Esav is going to come. So why is this the place in the brachas? How is it totally in the bracha? Bracha is, in this world, Olam Hazeh, brachas. You want to know, maybe in Rivkas, right? Rivka, I saw it stop on and be careful. There was a nevuah. It's all there. There was a nevuah. What's going to be between the two children? Over here, it's not about the two children. It's about Olam Hazeh and a bracha. So how did it turn into Akel Kel Yaakov? By Yadayim Deis of the nevuah of the Yaakov's Kel, and then there won't be Ace of Ziyad. Because it's also about Olam Hazeh. If Yaakov makes kiddush, Shmar says, Al Shloi Shadvarim Olam Oymed, Al HaTayra, Al HaVayid Al Gmilas Chasad. So the world is dependent on the Kel Kel Yaakov. Because if not, then the world can't exist. It turns into Yadayim Yedayesav Churban. The world cannot exist without Yaakov's Torah. So the Birchas Ha'aretz, which it was brachas. Yitzchok's Kavanah was here to give the bracha of Shprani Aretz Tal Shamayim, but it's all dependent on the Kel Kel Yaakov Yadayim Yedayesav. I want to tell you over something interesting. I was zeiche to hang around Alta Mirrors, the old mirrors, those that learned by Rabbi Yoch. And one such mirror was Rabban Shel Weinhuis. He was from the Mira Chevra. And I asked him a lot about Rabbi Yeruchim. I used to have discussions with him. So he told me once something interesting. He said that he was once present when a bacher from the yeshiva, one of the mirrors, came over to Rabbi Yeruchim with the following question. He says, it's known that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, when he said Birchas HaShachar in the morning, he would dance. Yeah. Sounds like a chassidus shereva ma'isa. Told me a ma'isa shahoy. A person went over to Rabbi Yeruchim and asked this question to Rabbi Yeruchim. Now Rabbi Yeruchim didn't deny it. Rabbi Yeruchim didn't say, "No, it's not true." But what was the question that the person asked? How come we don't have that? How come we're half asleep when we say ma'isa sechavina? That's at best that we're half asleep. Sometimes we're completely asleep. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is dancing. Why don't we have that? So Rabbi Yeruchim didn't deny Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's dancing. And he said, I'll tell you why. He said the following. He said that, you ever notice that if a person has a beautiful car and he's the only one on the block that has it, he's very happy, and he's very proud, and he shows off this car, and he's excited, and he's the only one that has it. But if everybody on the block has the same car, so what's the big deal? No matter how beautiful the car is, right, you don't feel any importance because everybody has such a car. He says that when we walk out and we see the sun shining, we think to ourselves, it's not just for me the sun shining, everybody has it. It's for everybody, so we're not that excited about it. it doesn't affect us that much. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Hogufa, because it was for everybody, is what made him happy. And that's why he was able to dance. Pekech Ivrim, everybody opens up their eyes. If you would be the only guy to open up your eyes and see, and everybody else couldn't see, you'd every day, wow, Pekech Ivrim, Gavaldi, Pekech Ivrim, But since everybody's, what's, it's not a big deal, what's the big deal, And he says, Hagufa is why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to dance. Ha! Baruch Hashem, everybody's able to see, everybody able to have clothing, and that's what excited. So said Rabbi Yeruch. I would like to offer another understanding in it, and I think it's also true. Okay. We look at the sun, and pick the clothing, and everything that we say in the brachas has, Olam Hazeh, it's life, It's life, right? We had this yesterday. And we believe pretty much we'll have it tomorrow also. So what's the difference? After a while, you get tired of it. What's the big deal, right? You're right, the first few times we're excited. But then it becomes habit, so to speak. It's natural, right? But if, let's say, there was a one-day opportunity, you'd be very excited. We look at it as life. And life, we are getting used to life. Therefore, we don't get that excited from it. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, every morning when he woke up and the sun rose, he realized, why is the sun rising? So I can learn more Torah. Why do I have eyesight? And why do I have clothing? And why? And the answer is, in order for me to be Oyved HaKadosh Baruch Hu and learn Torah, it's a new opportunity every day. Every day it's a new opportunity. You hear? So it comes out that he gets excited every day. Baruch Hashem. I got this sight today, so it's not my eyesight. It's my eyesight that I learned another Taisus. I have clothing so I can go to the Besmerish to learn another piece of Gemara. So it's not the same thing as yesterday, and the day before, and the day before, and the day before. You know, Eilam has it, the nicest car in the world. You're going to get used to it after a while. Doesn't mean anything. Then you're going to need something new, and something new, and something more, and something new. Yeah? But if you look at Olam Hazeh as the opportunities that Olam Hazeh brings for Olam Abba, for Torah, for mitzvahs, that's endless, and every day it's new, and every day that a person gets it, he's excited to the point that he's able to dance and be besimcha. Sometimes we take these things for granted. We just had recently, not you, you didn't experience it as much, but in New Jersey, there was power outage. 2 weeks. People didn't have electricity for 2 weeks. We didn't have water for 2 weeks. I didn't have water in my house for 2 straight weeks.
Wow. So
didn't have water. And I thought to myself, what was the lesson? What was the lesson? And there's many. And of course, when the Rebbeinu Shlomo does something, there's many lessons to be learned from it. What was the lesson here? We take things for granted. Yeah.
Have to be.
It has to be. You wake up in the morning, and I want you to know, the beginning, you know, the first day, I woke up quickly, and I went to the sink, and I opened it up, and then I realized, there's no water coming out. It's almost habit for me. That everything we take for granted, yeah, and the Mela, it's got to be there. The Rebbeinu Shlomo showing us, don't take it for granted. And if you don't have the water, we can't learn. There was so much, the yeshivas, I don't know if you realize how many yeshivas had to stop learning because of this. Understand the tachlis, the tafkid of what Olam Hazeh is, and this becomes a tremendous bracha in itself. And that's what I want to end with. What are the brachas? I think the brachas are the understanding of how to utilize Olam Hazeh. If Olam Hazeh is used the wrong way and it's viewed the wrong way, then Olam Hazeh could be the most destructive thing in the world. Olam Hazeh could be used in a way where Olam Hazeh is the word. The Gemara tells us, Mishi Yesh Leimana, Roitzim Asayim. So there the Olam Hazeh is the detriment to the person. And the more Olam Hazeh, the worse it makes it for the person. Chazal tell us, Hakina V'atayu V'akovit Moitzin Es Adam in Olam. What is the expression Moitzin Es Adam in Olam? It takes him out of the world. It should say, Mamus, it kills, it's a killer. What is the word Moitzin? Moitzin is Adam in Olam. And the answer could be that Kinah and Taiva and Kavod take a person out of the world that he could live in. The world has so much good, has so much potential. So this is Moitzi. It takes him out of the world. Not that he's necessarily going to die. A person could live in this world, but it's not called living. Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Tamid, Gemara says that they asked, Alexander Maikdin asked the Chachamim, who lives? What's life? And the Chachamim answered Alexander Maikdin, if you want to live, you should kill yourself. He should make himself have tanugi ayilum hazeh. What does that mean? It means that a person could have physical living, but he's not alive. That's not called life. I told you in the past, if you notice, we give a person a bracha, arichas yamim v'shanim. What is the arichas yamim and shanim? Arichas shanim, we should give you many years. What's long days and long years? So I heard B'Shem Ibshem Azalman Orbach say Chatzadik Levracha that a person could live many years, but the days are short because there's nothing in it. And I once gave you a beautiful story to back you, to back this up, to show you how I saw this firsthand. I used to go visit Chaylim in a place called Sharon Manor, near my home in Brooklyn, where I lived when I lived in Brooklyn. And there was a Yid in the shul over there, an elder Yid. They had a shul in the bottom, and then it was a nursing home, an old age home. And he comes to shul, and he sits there, and he's there way earlier. I walk in there, and I asked him, what time is mincha? Because I wanted to daven mincha, it was getting Shabbos afternoon. So he tells me, it's 20 minutes to mincha. 20 minutes to mincha. And I took my kids with me, they're sitting there, and I'm thinking, 20 minutes to mincha? Should I go visit and then come back for mincha? Should we daven mincha and then go visit the people? I hear he keeps on repeating, it's 20 minutes to mincha, 20 minutes to mincha, 20 minutes to mincha. I thought maybe he was just trying to remind me, I don't know. Then all of a sudden I hear him saying, it's 19 minutes to mincha, 19 minutes to mincha. Then he says, 18 minutes to mincha. I started to realize, what's the pshat? He has nothing what to do, this person. His days are empty. It's an older person. He has no life. Yeah, so he's counting the minutes from boredom. Yeah? From boredom, Pashit. Okay. Tell you the end of the story. As they say, it's a story with a twist. They came down at 5 o'clock. This was after 20 minutes of him counting. And they announced that they have to prolong the mincha a little longer. They can't wait that mincha now because the meal upstairs isn't ready yet, whatever. Another 20 minutes. I'm thinking, oh, the poor guy now, he has to count another 20 minutes to mincha. Yeah. Arichas yamim v'shanim. A person could actually breathe. Yeah, but the life is completely empty. Yeah. This is the bracha. The bracha is to be able to tie together Olam Hazeh with Olam Haba. Then you have bracha. And I was trying to bring out this in the beginning. The trick, the chachma, and that's what I think the Pshat Rabbis is as follows. Why did the brachas have to be given in such a way Yaakov had to fool his way to getting the brachas? And the answer could be like this. He does it, Shema B'Kayli. What does Shema B'Kayli mean? Listen to the Ruach HaKodesh, Chazal say, the mahalach of how to get brachas Olam Hazeh, the way a person is supposed to nilish up the tzugain to them, is supposed to be because the Rebbein Shem said so, Shema B'Kayli. It couldn't be that he came to get the brachas because he wanted them. He came to get the brachas because the Eibush said to get them. Again, yeah, I'm saying a Muridik Pshat. Yankiv Avinu, part of the bracha is to accept it because the Eibishter is giving it. But if it's because you want it, then it's not going to be a bracha. You know why a person needs Olam Haza? Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo said, you have to live in this world. The Rebbeinu Shlomo said that a person has to be makbid on his health. So he has to go and do exercise. Olam Haza is because not I'm looking for myself or what I want, but it's because of Shema B'Kaili that's what the Eibishter wanted. And I think this is also pshat in Ba'chicha B'Mirmah. The Targum says, what's Mirmah? B'Chachma. Because the way to deal with the brachas, the way to deal with Olam Hazeh is taka with Chachma. It needs to be with wisdom. You have to understand what the point of the Olam Hazeh is. You have to understand the balance. When yet and when not. It takes a precision Chachma on Yankiv's part to be mekabel the brachas. So this is what I was asking. Why did the brachas have to be in such a bidyevedik way? Why couldn't the brachas be direct? And the answer is because it is bidyevedik. The holy side, you take a need oilum haza. You take a need oilum haza. But it had to be done in a way that it was shma b'koili because the Eibishter said it's the Eibishter who sent him to get it. It has to be done b'mirma b'chachma, because if not, Esav is there. Then Esav, there's an Esav in Olam Hazeh too. And that's what I'm saying. Hakol kol Yaakov ayadayim yidei Esav is the taich that Yaakov Avinu has to know that there's two drachim in Olam Hazeh. There's Olam Hazeh, which stands for Kol Kol Yaakov. But then there's an Esav could come and say, Habrach Achasi Lecha. There's also an Olam Hazeh called my Olam Hazeh. And it has to be B'chachma that he takes the Olam Hazeh away from the Esav. Maybe in deeper terms I would say, Esav represents the Sat. You know where I know this from? It says clearly in Chazal. It's in the Furish of Chazal. You know, Esav was born with a tattoo on himself.
Snake right there.
The snake. He had a tattoo. He had a...
Born with it?
Huh?
Born
was born with it. Nach Shri Chayim. It says, Yaakov, Esav is Ish Sada, Ish Na Shri Chayim. The Medrash, the Targum says Ish Na Shri Chayim. The Pshat is he had a snake on it. The Chassam Saif is Mazbeh. Because he represents the snake, the Satan.
On his leg.
On his leg. It's Mefurish HaChazal. It's Mefurish HaTargum.
No, but he did it by himself, no?
Come on.
No, he was born with it.
So it's not fault.
He was born with it. It says clearly he was born with it. Yeah? What's the Pshat? Pshat is, yeah? Hey, I'll tell you even more. You want to hear even more?
I want to hear that too.
I'll tell you more. Notice that Yaakov Avinu is grabbing on to the foot of Esav. Why the foot? Why does it have to be that he grabs onto the foot? So you're going to come and say, it's Torah, it's crazy. Ne'atlach. It's Rishayim. Rishayim asks for a kash. So the Baal HaTurim says, Chiddush Niflo. Baal HaTurim says that the pshat is he didn't want to hurt his mother upon delivery. So once his mother opened the womb to deliver Esav, he was going to sneak out with Esav. This was in order not to cause an extra leda, pain, of a leda to his mother. The Meishiv Skenin, Taisus, the Balei Taisus say, that the reason why he's holding on, because remember, Esav is called Chazir Miyar.
Chazir and Chazir Miyar.
He's considered the Chazir, right? Chazir He represents Amalek. He represents the one thing that the Chazir shows always is his feet. That I'm kosher. Yeah. So that's the only part of something which a little bit coat. Yeah. So Yaakov grabs onto that. He wants to have nothing to do with this. Yeah. I have nothing to do with the Esav. He wants, as he's like the Rishayim, it's unbelievable. That he grabs onto the feet, because the feet is the only part which represents a little bit kosher. Chazal tells that the pig sticks its feet down. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that la'osid, the chaz will become kosher.
Is it in Shu'ez Kod?
I don't know that, but it says it will become kosher. That's what Chazal says.
Sure.
And Mashiach Kong, the chazir, that's why it's called chazir, yachzor, it's going to return. No, it's just brought down the mefarshim, chazir, that eventually it's going to come back. What's the pshat, Rabbi Yisrael? Chazir is the taich. It shows its hooves, which means, take a look, oilam hazir. It's kosher. You hear? Come. What do we say? Get to see a little bit further. It's all chazir, it's the worst of the worst. If you don't do it right, and you drag along Esav, you get with Esav, then you have a whole different Olam Hazeh. Yeah. He tries to get you. He's a Nachash. He's Nachash. He's the Satan. He's there to convince you. Yeah. So that's the Pshat. Yaakov Avinu B'mirma has to know how to deal with Olam Hazeh. He has to steal the Olam Hazeh away from Esav. What Esav is trying to sell you in Olam Hazeh, you're supposed to come and outsmart and use the Olam Hazeh for Kel Kel Yaakov. And that's why it's Taka Kel Kel Yavidayim Esav. It goes hand in hand. Bali Musar always say, either you oil, either you go up, or Yairi. There's no middle. Either it's Kal Yaakov, which means you're utilizing Olam Hazeh properly, or you're dying your day Esav. That's why it's Ba'achicha B'mirma. It had to be with Chochma. I would use the expression, Aved Gamvin in the Olam Hazeh. You have to know how to steal away Olam Hazeh for the right reasons. The world uses Olam Hazeh for the wrong reasons. We have to utilize it. That utilization has to be b'mirma. It has to be shma b'kayli. The Rabbi Shalom is telling you, and that's with the chachm of understanding why Olam Hazeh. When we understand why Olam Hazeh, then we can utilize.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.